Shalom, shalom. This is Dr. Akiva Gamlil of B'nai Noach Torah Institute and Raka or Audio Visual Learning Library. Welcome, kids of all ages. Our story today is entitled Heaven. And our story is in the loving memory of two young people. First one is Gary Lee Belk, and the second is Donald Wayne Belk. These are Dr. Akiva Gamlil's brothers, and they've gone to heaven. May they rest in peace. The story of heaven is taken from Bereshit 28. There we recognize that our forefather, our great 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 grandfather Jacob, Yaakov Avenu, Jacob, our father, was on his way to stay with some relatives, his uncle Laban, and on his travels, he stopped one evening when he reached a certain place. And there he gathered stones, like large rocks, and placed them all around him. And then he made a stone for his pillow and went to sleep. While he was asleep, he had a dream. Have you ever had a dream about heaven? Yaakov had a dream about heaven. And kids of all ages, he saw a ladder reaching way up into the heavens. And this ladder had malachim on it. Malachim are angels. And the angels were climbing up the ladder. Our Torah tells us they were ascending. They were climbing up the ladder and descending, climbing down the ladder. And our sages tell us the reason they were climbing up the ladder is because they were angels of the land of Eretz Canaan. They were angels of the land of Israel. Within the land of Israel, there are very certain angels that watch over the land of Israel. They're the guardian angels of Eretz Israel, of the land of Israel. Then there are angels that have responsibilities outside of the land of Israel. And so what we have is, so to speak, a change of the guard. The angels that were watching over our father Jacob were now giving their responsibilities over to the angels that were going to watch over our father Jacob when he left the land of Israel. Now, can you imagine? Think about a ladder reaching up into the heavens. I imagine that our father Yaakov had very good vision. He could see very good. And I imagine that the ladder he saw went from where he was lying all the way up into the heavens, as far as your eye can see. And eventually, the ladder disappeared. The top of the ladder, that is. And so, later, when our father Yaakov woke up, he said, "How dreadful is this place. Could you imagine falling asleep and dreaming about a ladder reaching into the heavens?" Now, of course, the Torah calls this a dream. It's a vision, but it actually happened. Angels were actually climbing a ladder. Could we see this ladder? Probably not. We can only imagine what it would look like. We can only think about this ladder going miles up into the sky, and that angels were going up and angels were coming down. And Yaakov said that this is such a unique place. He called it Bet El. Bet means house, and El means God. Betel, house of God. And the reason that he called it Betel is because in our great father's point of view, this was none other than the gates of heaven. This was the place on earth where one could reach the gates of heaven. Our sages teach that this was none other than the place where the Bet HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, was built many years later. When I was a youngster, my father, may he rest in peace, had taken me and one of my brothers camping on a camping trip up into the mountains. We put on very heavy packs that weighed an awful lot. And we walked up a very, very, very long trail. And eventually, we got to a lake that was called Surprise Lake. The reason that I remember this so well is because we had built a huge bonfire. We had pulled logs from all over the forest, and we'd start this large fire because there were many wild animals all around. And one night, when we were staying there, our dog, he was a Weimaraner, and his name was Prince. And Prince was out running through the forest, and he was barking and making a racket. And before too long, a mountain lion came into our camp. And just as it reached the area where we could see it, it froze. It was there for a little while, and then it ran off. That's one reason why I remember this particular night very well. It was cold. We didn't have sleeping bags because in those days, sleeping bags weighed a lot. All that we had was this fire, and we laid a tarp down on the ground next to the fire. And underneath this tarp, we cut off branches from pine trees to make it softer so it wasn't so hard. And then we laid this tarp over the branches. That way we had a little cushion when we slept. We didn't have sleeping bags. We covered ourselves with the other half of the tarp. And so we laid next to the fire. My father, may he rest in peace, and one of my brothers, and myself. And as we were lying there, we could look way up into the heavens. One night, we saw a falling star. Another night, we saw what may have been a satellite. But the point is that I remember that night for several reasons. The mountain lion, the big bonfire, the tarp that we covered ourselves with, and because the night was so clear. It was so crystal clear. It was very cold out and very beautiful. And when you're up in the mountains and you look up into the sky, Oh, the stars are so incredibly beautiful. So wonderful. And so I looked up into the stars, and I would just stare at the stars. They were so bright. Now, down in the city where I used to live, you wouldn't see the stars quite like you would up in the mountains. And if you're really down on the plains and down and around the ocean areas, sometimes you don't see the stars that much. But when you're way up above 10,000 feet and it's cold night and you look into the sky, you see stars everywhere. In fact, the sky is so full of stars, you can't count them all. And it's beautiful. It is so beautiful. And then the moon comes out and you get the glow of the moon. And so you have the moon shining down and you have the stars that are so bright. And then you look at the stars and you look up and you try to find the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. And you just wonder in amazement at how far away the stars are. Well, all those stars are in the heavens. Now, our sages teach that there are seven heavens. And when we get up towards the seventh heaven, that is so mystical, so amazing, we cannot even begin to understand what it's like in the seventh heaven. Heaven is a very, very special place because God lives in the heavens, and God's presence lives in the heavens. Can we see God? No, we can't see God. But we can see God's creation. The moon is God's creation. The stars are God's creation. And when we look up into the sky, we see clouds. Clouds are God's creation. And there are many other things that we can see that is evidence of a creator. So, when we think of God who we can't see, and when we think of the heavens that we can see, and then we think of the concept that someday, it could be a long, long, long time from now, or it could be kind of soon, God help us all. And I hear lots of amens. We're going to eventually go to the heavens, God willing. That should be all of our goals. Now, in Judaism, we call it Gan Eden. Gan Eden is the place where all the righteous souls gather. Can we see Gan Eden? No, we cannot see Gan Eden. Not now. Not in our physical being. Some things exist, but because we have limitations, we can't see them. It doesn't mean they're not there. It just simply means that we can't see them. So we look up into the sky and we look for Gan Eden. We don't see it. We look for the creator of the universe and we don't see the creator, but yet we actually do. There are some things that our physical eyes cannot see, but the things that our physical eyes cannot see, our spiritual eye can see. And the heavens and Gan Eden and the creator of the universe, those very, very special places that cannot be seen by the physical eye can be seen by the spiritual eye. Now, does that mean that you can go outside at night and look up into the heavens and say, okay, I'm going to turn off my physical eye and turn on my spiritual eye? No, it doesn't work like that. But how it does work is like this. Someday, when our spirit, that's the breath inside of us, let's all take a big breath of fresh air. And let it out. That's our breath. That's our spirit. The neshama that comes into us, the life that comes into us, that's our breath. And someday, we don't know when that day will be, our breath will leave our body for the last time. And when our breath leaves our body for the last time, then our body will lie there and it won't move any longer. And then our breath will be free to move about the universe. And our breath will no longer be confined inside of a body. And at that time, we'll see Gan Eden. And at that time, we'll recognize the Creator of the universe, because our spirit came from the Creator. God, the Creator of the universe, breathed the breath of life into each of us. And when our breath leaves our body, it's going to go to heaven. It's going to go to the Hashemayim. Hashemayim is the Hebrew word for heaven. We say the heavens in English, and in Hebrew we say Ha-Shemayim. Try it with me. Ha-Shemayim. That's good. So, kids of all ages, one day when our neshama, our soul, our breath leaves our body, then it's going to go up, 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 up into the heavens. And God willing, we're going to be righteous and go into Gan Eden and be there with the Creator of the universe, who gave us the breath that we have. The breath that we have. And so, we will be in the heavens. And we have something to look forward to when we leave this earth. And we don't have to be afraid of dying, because all that's actually dying is our body, our mind, our soul, our neshama, all rise out of our body and go into the heavens. Wow! We're going into a beautiful, wonderful, lovely, special place. Thank you for joining with me, kids of all ages.